Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Train your body. Here's exercise physiologist Melanie Cole, MS.
Have you ever wondered how to eat while you're training for an event? Is it different than the way that you would eat normally? My guest is Nancy Clark. She's a registered dietitian and board-certified specialist in sports dietetic. So, Nancy, if you are planning on training for an event, do you start your eating early in the planning stages, or is it something that waits till later?
For certain, you start it early. Part of your training is to train your intestinal tract so that you know exactly what foods fuel you comfortably, what you can digest easily, and what makes you feel good, what gives you sustained energy. If you just try to discover this on marathon morning, you could be in trouble.
Well, so what foods give you sustained energy? If you're starting to train for a marathon, and say you're starting 12 weeks prior or 16 weeks prior, do you advocate certain foods that you should be kind of just eating on a regular basis to keep up your stamina, help you build your endurance and muscle?
You always want to eat a foundation of carbohydrates to fuel your muscles, and along with that, some protein to build and repair your muscles. So you want about 3 times more carbs than protein. So that means you want cereal with milk, you know, a sandwich with hearty bread with some turkey and low-fat cheese. You want pasta with meatballs. Some people think that they need egg white omelets for breakfast to fuel their run. It's like, no, that'll help with your muscles, but protein, as in egg whites, does not fuel your muscles. So it's always the carbs with some protein.
Okay, because people don't understand that carbohydrates are what fuel the brain and spinal cord. They're what keep your blood glucose levels up. And so are there certain carbohydrates you would recommend over others? Are there certain you would like us to avoid?
Well, I always encourage quality carbohydrates. Now, what you said is true. Some carbs are all carbohydrates, fruits, vegetables, grains, sugars, starches, digest into glucose. And some of that glucose gets stored in your muscles as muscle glycogen, and you use that when you run. And some of that glucose gets stored in your blood, and that feeds your brain. So we're actually talking about fueling two different places, your muscles and your brain. Your muscles and your brain don't care if you feed them marshmallows, jelly beans, sports drinks, pure refined sugar, but clearly your health cares. So for health reasons, you want to have quality carbohydrates. You want fruits, vegetables, whole grains. And so many runners, before they run, they like having a banana. After their run, maybe they like having, you know, some whole wheat bagel. For their dinner, maybe they have brown rice with some chicken. I mean, so that we're looking at, like I say, the quality carbohydrates that invest in their health as well as in their performance.
So now we've been training, we've gotten our eating under control, we know what foods affect our stomach digestive-wise while we run. What about week of? Because we've been hearing about carbo loading for 40 years. Is that still the case?
Well, the way that I look at it is, every time when you train hard, you deplete your muscles of glycogen. And then when you refuel them, you know, with a pasta or the potato or bread or other form of carbohydrate. And it's the depletion that stimulates your muscles to be able to store more glycogen. So the biggest change before the marathon is to taper off your exercise so that the muscles have plenty of time to refuel. So the last thing you really want to be doing the week before the marathon is changing your diet, because you want to keep your intestinal tract, you know, on the right path. Many people are concerned about diarrhea or constipation, and if you've got your body well tuned, you don't want to mess with that. So I would say you can only compete at your best if you can train at your best. You can only train at your best if on a daily basis you're having carbs with some protein. And then the biggest change, as I said, before the marathon, is to cut back on your training. Then the muscles have the time that they need to refuel, also the time that they need to heal.
Okay, now, day of. So here you are, nerves anyway. And so what do you do the day of? And then go right into what do you do during the event itself? Are we using goo? Do you stop? Do you stop for water? Keep going? Tell us about first day of, then during the event.
The day of the marathon, you should have practiced and thought about a little bit. So if you're at home and the marathon's in your backyard, then it's easy for you to get up, have your standard tried and true breakfast, just as you've practiced before your long runs. If you're on the road, say if you've traveled, you know, from Minnesota to the Disney Marathon in Florida, then you might not have the same foods available to you. And you might also be getting up at early 0:30 for a marathon that starts at 6 in the morning. So this is all stuff that you need to think about in advance so that you have with you foods that you've eaten before that are tried and true. And to know that what you eat the day of, that morning of the marathon, helps to boost your blood sugar level. The carbs that you ate the day before, the few days before, are stored in your muscles. They stay there until you exercise. But what you eat the day of the event, the morning before the marathon, will maintain a normal blood sugar level, because overnight your blood sugar level drops. So your breakfast pre-marathon helps to maintain a normal blood sugar level so that you can keep thinking clearly, because so much of marathoning is mental. So you have a tried and true breakfast beforehand. Maybe it's oatmeal. Maybe it's an energy bar and banana. Maybe it's a bagel with peanut butter, stuff that you know that works. Then that will last you for about an hour, hour and a half into the marathon. And then during the marathon, you want to be targeting probably around, you know, 200, 300 calories per hour of foods that you know that you can readily digest. Some people do it on sports drinks and gels. Other people say, oh, I get sugared out on all of that. And they want foods that aren't quite as sweet and sugary. Maybe they like dates or raisins. Maybe they like to gnaw on biscotti. Maybe they like having the chomps or the sports beans. Maybe they want a Milky Way. So this is all stuff that you should have practiced during training, but you have two jobs during the marathon. One is to keep your blood sugar from dropping. So that's where you have, let's say, 200, 300 calories per hour. Then the other job is to drink enough so that you don't become dehydrated. And all of this information is in my food guide for marathoners. So if people are looking for, you know, specific information, they can go to my website, which is nancyclarkrd.com, and take a look at the food guide for marathoners.
nancyclarkrd.com. And just very quickly, in the time we have left, what about post-marathon? Are you refueling, rehydrating?
You know, well, you certainly feel a lot better if you do. Recovery after the marathon isn't as critical as your day-to-day refueling, because after the marathon, you're probably just lounging around, not doing very much. But on your training, that's where you've got to be training the next day. So after the marathon, I think you'll find that you want a nice meal, because you'll probably be quite hungry.
Well, I think that that is really great information. Thank you, Nancy. And it's nancyclarkrd.com. You can see all of this kind of advice, specific information on how to train, what to eat, and mostly her advice is get your body accustomed to what you're doing and stick with what works. That's usually the best idea. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at RadioMD.com. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.